I'm not the best poker player. I never said that. I said I was better than you. I'm not the best poker player. I never said that. I said I was better than you.
It's the XBL Radio Podcast.
Mr. Kropotkin sitting to the right of me here.
I am Rusty Ranchero.
My compadre, the other guy.
Hello, everybody. This is Steve, Bob19.
Your game. Play ball.
Come get some.
Your voice.
Hey, this is Pidgett from XPLife.com.
Rotter XP.
How's it going, Rusty?
Thank you, Leo.
Oh, my pleasure.
Mr. Major Nelson.
Thank you for having me.
Microsoft's Trixie.
You know, we're gamers and we like the community.
Your radio.
As you know, there's been a fiasco with the launch.
I'll go out and I'll buy a garage.
And it's fun. One guy's announcing, reading all the news stories.
So you run around shooting people?
No.
Stop wasting all your free time playing those mind-numbing video games.
Now, fire up that console and let's sign in.
Well, to all you gamers, thanks for stopping by and tuning in to version 28 of the XBO Radio Show, brought to you by XBORadio.com. And I am the other guy, and sitting to the right of me is Mr. Carpal Tunnel. Mr. Carpal Tunnel, how are you doing today?
Hey, I'm doing pretty good. Thanks for having me back on, man. It is a new year and a new us, if you will. I mean, we're working hard behind the scenes on the podcast to try to bring you out, you know, new versions of XBO Radio. And last week, if you all downloaded it as well as the live show, you'll notice that we did a birthday bash, if you will, and I hope everybody enjoyed that. We spent a lot of time bringing that together. How did you think it came out, other guy?
Well, I thought it was, you did a well job with it, except for the very end where you edited things to make it sound like I was an evil demonic person. But
hey,
other than that, I think
me.
It did well. I think
it
did well.
There was a lot of love on my part, man. I was just trying to reel them in. I don't know what you guys, seem for some reason to have some problems recording the podcast, and you were hell-bent against that birthday song, weren't you?
The power of editing.
I had a good time putting that together. You know, just listening to it reminded me of how many hours worth of dialogue and discussion that we've had here at the XBL Radio Show. And I know that most podcasts, I mean, not us, you know, as a whole, but most other podcasts, you know, they spend a lot of time, such as my friends over at Squad XP, K-Rock and them. They have that ability to really, you know, sit down and have a conversation, if you will, and throw things off the cuff. And they do a lot better at it than we do. But, you know, we're more news-oriented. And that was kind of fun doing a podcast where all we had to do was talk about ourselves for a little while. I haven't actually had a podcast where I've done that.
Exactly. Well, I do see an arcade game that's coming up that I think your kids are going to be playing day in and day out is the Totem Ball that we downloaded. I think that's a very cute niche kids game. We played it for a few minutes and it was cute.
Yeah, it came out on the Xbox Live, and actually I didn't pay a dime for it. It was an actual free download, and I did not know that this was going to be free, and so it was quite refreshing. I was willing to fork up, you know, some Microsoft points for it. And it's actually going to be a cute game. It's kind of like that iToy type scenario where you're waving your hands around trying to make the ball go. It's almost a cross between Monkey Ball and the iToy.
The thing I find cute about it, and which I will actually probably play the heck out of, is the pinball.
Oh, the pinball was neat. Yeah, and you actually got me my first achievement on there because you were playing it right before we recorded.
If I wouldn't have got it, Alex or Cam would have got it.
Yeah.
It wasn't that difficult to do. You just had to basically turn the game on and start playing.
Absolutely. You know, but yeah, that's good. So the Microsoft, you know, iCamera is finally getting used for things, you know, other than what I heard about doing on K-Rock show. He said somebody was actually showing the, what did he call it?
Well, I don't know, but somebody they were playing Uno with kept showing the banana.
Yeah, or something. I mean, you know, so that's kind of sad. I don't know. I haven't gone that far, but I did do a mean G-string to you on the first night. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I remember you showed me the old lady at the beach, and I really didn't enjoy that.
No, just envision, if you will, guys. You know, have you ever seen Wayne's World where he takes his underwear and, you know, and does a little monkey dance with the wedge? I did one of those, and it actually turned out quite nicely. You know, I'm actually gifted back there. I mean,
Yeah, you do. It's jumping away from gaming. What has happened in Carpal's world outside of gaming this week? Anything interesting?
Well, you know, of course, I went and actually rented the DVD Fast and Furious Tokyo Drift. Have you heard of this film?
Yeah, I chose not to watch two, three, or four of that.
Really? Well, this is the only the third one, so four, yeah, you chose wisely.
Yeah.
This movie's actually good. I thought it was, you know, a lot of people, you know, were downplaying the fact that Fast and the Furious looked like some kind of stupid, you know, car movie or whatever. And, you know, rightfully so. It does have some moments in there that are kind of cheesy, but I thought it actually did what it was supposed to do. Of course, it had, you know, the new kid on the block in this movie, which I think was kind of out of the norm because it seemed like they almost went too cliche with it because he was like this country hick. And he was in Japan instead of just getting a normal American, you know, over there.
So what you're saying is country hicks are not normal Americans? Dang. Well, email that to Mr. Corpatona at xboradio.com.
Well, I'm not necessarily saying that. I'm just saying, you know, out of all the people they could have picked to play this, like somebody that might have had a little bit more curb appeal, you know, over there in Japan, maybe that guy, David Hasselhoff could have played the guy because Japanese people love David Hasselhoff.
Yeah, see him drifting in the
Night Rider.
That'd be pretty sweet.
It would be awesome. But, you know, it was kind of cliche. But at the end of the day, it was really cool. One of my favorite parts of the movie was they used an old Mustang against some of these Tokyo rods. And that made me very happy being a Mustang owner. Well, of course, between our year anniversary podcast edition, you took a hiatus, went down to the beach, and left us to piece together the year anniversary. How did that go? How was your beach trip?
Well, at first, you know, it was a little confusing because I actually took the wrong week off at work, so I had to get that straightened out. I'm actually supposed to be off now instead of last week.
Right.
But, you know, the beach trip went well, man. I haven't gone this late in the year. Usually go earlier in the year, but with the baby being born, we didn't get to make it down to the condo till later on in the year. And there's a lot of blue hairs down there right now. No traffic. And it was like dead. Just nothing but blue hairs. But pretty neat. We went to the movies there, and they have a rave movie theater there with the Ferris wheel out front. So, we played with that.
Went and saw The Wicker Man, didn't you?
Went and got saw The Wicker Man. I loved the ending. It's got to be one of the best endings to a movie. The movie was pretty horrible altogether. I wouldn't suggest watching it or renting it. Wait till it comes out on
HBO. Now, is this Wicker Man, is this like a biography of a guy who works over at Pier 1 Imports?
Yes. And it's about a cop that goes to this island where, you know, the women rule it, and I think they cut the tongues out. They never go into it, but I think they cut all the men's tongues out.
Oh, paradise. Really. Speaking about traveling and stuff, I heard K-Rock from Squad XP. I know I'm mentioning him a lot, but, you know, the guy's a bro to us, man, and I heard he was actually traveling to Atlanta to meet some people. Did you hear about
that? Yes, I heard he's going to go to the Dirty ATL.
That's what I heard. And I just want to let you know, Atlanta's only an hour and a half away from Birmingham.
Yes, that is true.
So we could get some squad next
week. I don't have to get a divorce from my wife, bro. I would listen to that, dude.
What do you think? Yeah, Burger's posse.
He's that type of guy that has a good weekend to him is a fifth of liquor, a night at Tijuana with a pickle and a jar of Vaseline. I'm not going that route.
Yeah, I know. Did you hear? Man, their podcast sometimes, man, I it makes me blush, man. I mean, I think that every now and then we go, you know, to the dirty, you know, dirty. But, I mean, his posse over there, man, they don't hold back and stuff sometimes. So, I mean, what was it they were talking about on there? They were talking about sending some girl emails or whatever that was. Did you hear that one?
Yeah,
where they were flooding their inbox?
Yeah,
I mean, what did this chick do to them? I mean, how bad were they itching after a night with her? I mean, they obviously were bent up hard on this girl.
Yeah, no, don't piss them off.
Yeah, I'm telling you. I mean, hey, Squad XP, she's not pregnant. Leave her alone. They were dogging her, man.
Right on.
You know, other than, you know, going to the beach and doing our own personal things, you know, one thing that I was going to tell you and I didn't bring up to you, I don't know if you know this, but you can officially call me Coach Lawrence.
Yeah, I heard that. I heard you had balls all over the place.
I did. You know, I am actually coaching my youngest son, Cameron. I'm coaching his soccer team, you know, so it's – they don't really keep score, like you said. You always make fun of that. But, you know, they're not into keeping score. But these kids, man, they are very competitive and very aggressive.
So do you wear the little high coaching shorts with the socks
up
your knees?
I don't do the zebra thing whatsoever. Nope. Usually 90% of the time it's sweatpants and T-shirts. But, you know, they play hard. And it's very funny. We play a game called Kick the Coach. So I'll get down on my hands and knees and put my hands in my pockets, kind of like a firing squad. And I'll line the balls up, you know, along the white line, you know, the goal line. And let them run in and kick. And when they kick me, they get, you know, a few points. And they've really taken to this game.
Now, you say that you let them kick. You let them kick the ball and hit you with the ball, or you just let them just rear back and just pop gives on the foot?
No, it's basically, you know, trying to earn their skills and learn how to aim the ball to a particular target.
So they're kicking the ball at you.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, they're not actually kicking you at the side of the
No,
cleat.
Negative.
Okay, kick the coach sounds like they're taking a shot at the family jewels.
But you want to know how good their aim was?
Is that yes. why you're high pitch?
Yeah, at least twice yesterday. And you know what happened? This is the worst, man. And I don't know if you've ever felt this happen, but one of them, I had jeans on the other day, and we were doing this, and I was kind of standing up, and one of them slid one right by me, and I mean, it barely blew by him.
When they cuff it, it's the worst.
So the kids were laughing because they knew that something was wrong with Coach Lawrence.
Dude.
And I was sitting there trying to laugh, and that was a good one.
The graze hurts more than the full-on pop. I hate the cuff.
It was awful. Isn't that terrible?
Yeah, it's painful.
Yeah. Anyways, that's been how my week was going in, and just wanted to fill you in.
Did you get your wife to kiss on the wound, make it feel better?
That's a little bit personal right there, man. Actually, I think they were lodged in my stomach for the better part of last week.
I thought you had a pretty big Adam's apple.
But anyways, what we're going to do now is we're going to actually do what we came here for and talk about some tech news.
You've got
Mobile News Online.
Just what do you think you're doing, Dave?
And in our top story, the number one thing that's pretty much in all our techies' minds these days is the Zoom. Well, Microsoft on last Thursday released pricing for the new Zoom, the Apple iPod Challenger that some analysts believe the software maker is selling at a loss to grab market share. The profitable media player is scheduled to ship on November 14th at around an estimated price of $250. Now, this release date is 10 days before the official start of the holiday shopping season, which is, you know, after Thanksgiving on Thursday. The new 30-gigabyte player that sports a 3-inch video screen will be supported by a variety of accessories, including kits for playing the device in a car and at home via sort of like the iPod has been doing. The latter includes a remote control. Accessories will range in a price from $20 to around $100. Now, in launching the Zoom, Microsoft is going head-to-head with Apple, which has captured more than 3/4 of the market, according to an NPD group. Now, the price of the Zoom is $1 more than the comparable iPod, but the Microsoft device has additional features such as this, and this is already built into it, an FM tuner, the ability to transfer songs between the Zoom devices wirelessly, which is something we've all wanted. In addition, Zoom is preloaded and ships with songs and videos from popular artists such as Bands of Horses, Bittersweet, Cold Cut, among others.
You know, that's pretty neat. Also, Zoom is going to be offering, or Microsoft is going to be offering a subscription for like $15 a month where you can go and purchase your music instead of purchasing it a la carte, song by song, which, you know, Apple has refused to do to this point. But my thing is that really going to be enough to make a competitive difference, because Napster is still not doing well against the iTunes or iPods category, and they also offer a subscription and even let you listen to a song up to 3 times for free.
Yes, and, you know, I think the controversy here is, and I listened to Twit with my old friend Leo Laporte, who we had on the show a while ago, and he was talking about this stuff off air, if you remember. He was stating that the problem with these, monthly subscriptions, if you will, they all have these UMDs and these abilities to limit what you can do with these free. Like one of them, for instance, and I heard about this on another show a while back ago, actually lets you download the song up to a number of times, but each time you download that song, you have to listen to a commercial before the song. And you can't transfer or rotate. Whereas iTunes, it still has, you know, the blocking on there to where you can't easily go from player to player. But the thing with iTunes is there are ways around that. iTunes knows that. All they're doing is keeping honest people honest. I think the Zoom, you know, is going about it in the right way. But, you know, and hopefully they'll use, you know, Plays for Sure software, or there'll be a way to easily manipulate your songs and music files.
Yeah, I think one big thing that Zoom and the group over there at Microsoft need to look at is what they've done with the Xbox. The add-ons has been the key for the Xbox, which has made the Xbox so powerful, where if they can do the add-ons for this product here, it should go over well, because the iTunes add-ons, which are cool and neat, they're really expensive. I mean, a set of headphones, $20.
You're absolutely right on that. And the one thing that I think will drive the thing, just like you said, are the add-ons, as long as they're reasonably priced, and the aftermarket add-ons that may come out for this, because Microsoft has a lot of aftermarket add-ons. Apple has had a few, but most of the big ones, they seem to save for new releases of their player, which come out almost every year.
They do have a really cool add-on for iPod that just came out, though. You know what I'm talking about?
Which one is that?
It's where your shoe talks to your iPod.
Oh, yeah. You remember that? Nike released, it's like this little chip that you put in your Nike running shoe. It sends a wireless signal. It not only works with the iPod Nano, if I'm not mistaken. Isn't that correct?
It only works with the Nano. It's only like $20 for this, and it transmits a signal from your shoe
to your Nano.
To your Nano, which has a receiver on it. It gives you, I think, your pace. Does it give you your heart rate?
It does.
As well?
Gives you your pace, heart rate, distance,
and speed.
It even does, like, you can download, like, you know, curriculums from their website, from Nike Plus. You just go into Google and type Nike iPod, and you can download, like, entire, yeah, you know, curriculums.
It only works with the Nike Plus shoe, though.
Yes, it does.
But they still need.
And how much were those shoes?
About $100.
So you're looking at about $200 to be able to.
No, $120.
Well, you got to buy the iPod.
Well, if you already have the iPod, the accessory's $20, and
yeah,
the shoes are $100, which that's most shoes are at $100 nowadays anyway.
Now, one last thing on this whole Zoom thing. This is another thing that I think Microsoft has done time and time again, and it seems to work out well for them, is that they're selling, from what I hear, the Zoom at a potential loss right from the get-go. And this seems like they're almost coming out of the floodgate saying, hey, iPod, we're here. We're going to try to be as competitive and cutthroat as we can. So we're underpricing our product, maybe not our music, but our product. We're giving away the razors to sell you the blades.
That is correct.
So, I mean, does that entice you, you know, a cheaper, you know, portable player? Because I've said time and time again, and you have as well, the iPod is the niche thing. You put that on you, and people see you with it. You're cool. You see them on people's dashboards. People are running with them. If you have a third-party device, you're just not as cool.
Right. The iPod is cool, and all the stars wear it. That's why the iPod does well. When you see those NBA basketball players walking into the stadium with people trying to ask them questions, they got those white little earbuds hanging out the ear. That's just cool, man. That's just the way we live, is tangible eyesight.
It
Whatever
is.
They have, we
it's
want.
It's one hell of a marketing team that really infiltrated. I mean, because before, you know, you used to associate anything Apple with Apple users, and it was a very limited target audience. Most people were PC and Windows users. Apple comes over, and then all of a sudden people are using PCs or running Apple software on their PCs for the first time. I know I've been using iTunes for years now.
Me as well.
And hopefully, you know, maybe I'll have a choice now, and hopefully the Zoom will make that choice a reality. And now McDonald's rival Burger King officially announces a campaign that takes a different tack to gaming tie-in. Instead of offering toys to evoke games and promote activity, the fast food chain is offering up three Xbox and Xbox 360 games this holiday season. Now, Burger King plans to get into gaming were originally leaked in April by a company doing market research for the fast food chain. This is not the King's first visit to the video game world. The genuinely off-putting monarch of meat appeared in Electronic Arts Fight Night Round 3 as an unlockable manager character to the company, the player's boxer to the ring. The three games will be playable on either an Xbox or an Xbox 360, although a Burger King representative told GameSpot there will be no achievements for Xbox 360 players to earn. However, I hear that you can get an order of fries to go.
Yes, you know what? I love this idea. I hated the fact that they were in Fight Night Round 3 because I had to spend $60 for that game. But I'm going to go and buy a Happy Meal and drop $4 for an Xbox 360 game where I can play bumper cars online against you. I'm there. I will purchase this game. There's no loss in this game because it's $4.
Yeah, and all it is just, you know, tying it in to the Burger King, you know, franchise. So that is fine, because if you're buying a game and the whole ideology behind the game is marketing, then you're good with that. But if you buy a game and it's for the gameplay and there's marketing in that, you know,
and
that's
there's
where,
no break in the price,
yeah,
and that's where I get upset. That's
exactly
why I was so upset and outspoken about the Burger King ads and the Burger King and Dodge spots in Fight Night Round 3. It's because we spent $60 for that game. I shouldn't have to see advertisement on there, because I know they're getting money from that advertisement.
Yeah.
And I'm not getting anything in return.
You know, what this also shows you is that video games are now infiltrating. They're pretty much everywhere. I mean, as you notice, we talked about, you know, previous how they're tied into
it's
the,
like,
EA games.
Well, every month there's a new movie coming out that's based on a video game.
And I just bought some cereal this week. If you go to our blog space, you can see a picture where I talked about, you know, these new Xbox mini games that are now in some of the post, what is it, Crunch Pop?
Yeah.
Yeah, and all
Captain
that.
Crunch,
so
and all
kids
that
get
stuff
wired, and, you know, now they got a way to relieve that energy, and McDonald's is tying them in. So, you know, I mean, mean, pretty much it is the up-and-coming thing. So,
so will you be purchasing these games?
You know, I would have to wait and see what the graphics look like.
Come on, $4.
For $4, there's a possibility that I would. No achievements, though? I don't know, man. So.
Yeah, but you know what? It's up front. You know what this game's all about, so I don't think you can
But this playing. Would be the perfect time to have an achievement.
Extra cheese, please.
Well, you know, Sony is now gearing up big time for the launch. It's in a few months away. And at the 2006 Electronics Entertainment Expo, Nintendo unveils its Playing is Believing motto for the Wii. The idea is being that gamers tied to the console out, they'd be more eager to buy the machine. Now, it seems as if Sony is adopting the same idea. Speaking with Bloomberg, Sony Corporate Company of Entertainment of America CEO Jack Tretton said that 15,000 PlayStation 3 demonstration kiosks will be deployed to the American and Canadian retailers over the holiday season. By contrast, only 3,000 demo kiosks were used for the PlayStation 2 launch. That's quite a jump. The cost of the operation will be $30 million, reports Bloomberg, and there's no indication whether or not the price tag includes the cost of the PS3 units themselves. On the consumers, once they get their hands on the PS3 and understand what's under the hood, I think the price will not be a factor in the decision-making process, said Tretton.
So we should see these consoles hitting the Walmarts and Target and GameSpot and GameStop here pretty soon.
Yeah, if I remember right, the first 3 months of the Xbox 360 launch, that was the only place I could play Call of Duty.
Yeah, so we would go, I would go to my local Walmart every day to see if it was there. So I'm really excited, and I can't wait for this kiosk to hit the local Walmart.
I think it'll be a lot of fun. Speaking about the Sony, a lot of people have been talking over the next few months. We got two consoles fixing to be released into the mass market, and then we have the Xbox 360 that's out there. Now, the overall thing that is on everyone's mind between making decisions is what?
It's price.
It's price.
Price, price, price. How expensive these consoles are.
Yeah, and when you mention the PS3, everyone's always going, oh my God, he's going to pay $1 billion for a game system.
When the Xbox 360 came out, I was like, how ridiculously expensive is this? I'm going to drop the money, but it's really expensive on how much this is. And everybody keeps saying, well, they're losing money. They should be selling them for more. Well, the Game Informer this past subscription put out comparison charts of inflation of game prices.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. It was an interesting article. What they have done was, and it really puts things into perspective, with all the controversy about the PS3, and that's the main focus, is everyone saying how expensive it is. And even with the $250 price tag of the new Nintendo Wii, people are kind of, you know, expecting that to have been $150 to $200, and now they're talking about that. So they've come out in Game Informer, and they've actually broken it down. And we just want to touch on this and tell you the respective prices as to what they were at the time, where they would be today, and see with the inflation how much you might have actually paid for an old console versus what you're going to pay for the new ones. Go ahead.
So we won't touch all these. We'll talk about some of them. On Live.5, I noticed that a couple of guys, the first console they had was the Activision, which was $200 on its debut. If due to inflation, that would be paying $672 today.
So today, for the Activision, if you were going to go into Walmart and buy it at today's prices, it would cost you about $672.
That's pretty expensive.
That's already more expensive than the Sony. Now, keep going.
And my favorite one was the Intellivision, which was everybody used to say how expensive it was. I remember it was $300. So if you were to purchase that in today's market, that would be $838.
Gosh, that's amazing. And remember the Neo Geo? That was the bad boy that came out back in the, I guess, late 90s, mid-90s or whatever. It's supposed to do pretty much everything that your average consoles couldn't do. Well, it retailed back then for somewhere around $650, which was huge price.
Yes, I remember that.
But if you were paying for that same system based on today's standards of what your dollar averages out today,
that's a grand. $1,012.
$1,000.
Well, the way I look at it, it's I do remember getting the Activision. I really remember getting the television, which came out in 79. And I remember begging for this game for months, and my parents just kept telling me, no, 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 it's a $300 system. We're not getting that game. That was a lot of money back in 79. $300 is a good chunk of change. So they've always been hitting the threshold where they've been expensive, and everybody's had to beg for a while to get them. I guess you just have to beg a little bit longer to get that PS3 if you want it.
And, you know, one last fine point I wanted to put on this subject is, with the PS3 coming out, I mean, that's the one that everybody's complaining about the price. You know, you look at the average, the 20-gigabyte hard drive is going to cost you $499. The 60 is going to cost $599. That's only $100. That's, you know, maybe one Perfect Dark Zero game you'll have to miss on launch to be able to afford one of these.
Yeah, and the thing that I find most interesting that people are looking out is that two of the big things you get on this thing is you get a built-in Wi-Fi, which if you get that for the Xbox is $100, and then you get the Blu-ray drive. If you go and get the HD drive that's coming out in the market within the next month or two, that's $200 right there. So that's really a good deal for what you're getting, not including the HDMI outputs and stuff of that nature.
Absolutely. And you know, speaking of which, I wanted to say one other thing. You know, I've noticed a lot of people talking recently about, hey, you know, now they can put it to Sony by saying that they have an HD and all that. And I just want to say this one thing, because I don't know how to say this. I've been listening to a lot of shows and talk about it. I just want to get the record straight. Every time that you finally come out, Microsoft, this is for you. Every time you finally come out with a product that your competitor has, then are you going to say it's a good product? But up until that point, you say it sucks. Is that how it works? Because I'm not following you. And just in time for the World Series, Pro Baseball Pools podcast from its iTunes library. Major League Baseball has taken its podcast off Apple's computer's iTunes Music Store, making it exclusively available through its own website, MLB.com. The league voluntarily removed its podcast, Mostly Game Recaps, from the iTunes Store in an effort to gain anonymity over its promotion and distribution. MLB Advanced Media spokesperson Jim Gallagher said, affirming information first reported in the Wall Street Journal, the league doesn't expect its decision will result in a significant loss of either party. Neither one charges for podcast downloads, and the league estimates its site was already the source of three-quarters of its baseball podcasts. Now, MLB Advanced Media Chief Executive Bob Bowman insisted that there are no hard feelings between the two, according to the Journal story. But the podcast pulling may nevertheless have been repercussions for other media outlets that offer free content on the iTunes Music Store.
This smells like a little bit of, hey, Major League wanted probably Apple to give them some type of money from people going to that site and downloading their podcast, or it even has a little bit of a smell. Hey, if I can get them to go to the MLB Major League website, I can hit them with advertisement and stuff of that nature and make money off of it that way.
It's hard to say. You know, I know we get on my XM radio in the car, I get all the Major League Baseball games. And they
pay for that.
Yeah, exactly. But I know a lot of these, like when movies seem to come out, like Jack Black's Nacho Libre, when it came out, there's a podcast for that. And, you know, Bare Naked Ladies put out an album recently, and there's a podcast for that album. You know, it's not even the music. It's just a podcast talking about making the music. So it seems like Major League Baseball was doing the same thing. They know that if they promote it on there, then it will drive traffic. And they must have somehow, you know, come up with a pattern where they said, well, it's not driving enough traffic. It's really not worth our while to advertise on iTunes for free and drive traffic to iTunes. Let's keep it over on our site, say it's exclusive. And they thought about it. Now, someone like us here at XBL, we couldn't do that because, you know, I mean, we don't have enough power. But believe me, if we had all the traffic in the world, we'd want them skirting to our site and then from our site go to iTunes. And I think that's what MLB's doing.
Yeah, and it's all about the money.
And
it's all about the Benjamins.
Yeah, I you know what I think we ought to do? We ought to reverse it. We, for once, should go on strike against MLB.
Yeah, exactly.
Speaking of podcasting, I don't know if you heard this, but Pod People ponder litigation. In Ontario, California, Apple Computer's recent legal threats to rivals using the term pod and podcast met with giggles and, you know, just laughing among podcast entrepreneurs and enthusiasts gathered at the, I think it was the 2006 Podcast and Portable Media Expo. Now, alternately, they complained and laughed about the prospect that iPod maker may own the rights to some of these generic words. And even in our, you know, field, we've often talked about, you know, who owns that word podcast. What do you think?
Well, I don't think Apple does. That's kind of like saying Nike owns the word tennis shoe. You know, it's just irrelevant. If I'm not mistaken, the word pod's been around a lot longer than iPods.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, to bring up the topic, I saw your friend has like a little pen holder in his truck. And you know what the name of that pen holder is called?
What's that?
The pod.
The pod?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, Clay.
Uh-huh, yes.
Right. Well, pods are something that have been around. What is a pod?
It's actually a pod is something that holds something within it.
Okay. Exactly. I can see on that it's a pod, but I never could explain what it was. Okay.
Yeah, it's something.
But yeah, but you see what I'm saying?
You know, the pod people. You remember? They would have to like sue Invasion of the Body Snatchers because they were pod people.
They were in pods.
Yeah. Yeah. You can't come down here. You got to pay us royalties if you want to take over our Earth.
Yeah, I mean, once you start trying to copyright words and stuff like that, it's ridiculous. I mean, just really think about it. I mean, what would you do if Nike came to you because your store was called the Tennis Shoe Store and they say, hey, that's Nike Tennis Shoes, we got tennis shoe trademark, but we're selling New Balance. I don't care. We're suing.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And you know, there have been discussions, even on our board at xblradio.com, and that's a good plug, isn't it? But there's been discussions about, you know, hey, what would we call ourselves to get away from the whole pod terminology? And I've heard such things as GamerCast, GameCast.
Yeah, exactly.
What are some that you've heard? I mean, any that, you know, you think would ring a bell? There was Blogcast.
I'm sticking with podcasts.
Yeah, I'm sticking with podcasts, too, because, you know, I mean, that's where I pretty much learned to delve into the world of podcasting.
Until I get that letter that says cease and desist, the name of podcasting in your...
As long as they don't try to take away the word radio from us.
Yeah, really.
Because then we'd just be the XBL. We couldn't be the XBL radio podcast. We'd just the XBL.
Exactly. So.
And then Xbox would get on to us.
I think this will go... I think this is going to go nowhere. It's going to be thrown out of court.
I do as well. Well, it seems like iTunes doesn't like it when certain companies profit off of using their words. Well, here's a company that wants to use your ideas. Netflix offers over $1 million prize for an improved system. Now, from what I've heard, Netflix Incorporated on Monday announced $1 million to a person or a group that could figure out how to improve the online movie renter's recommendation system software by at least 10%. Now, to help contestants in their research, the Los Gatos, California company is making available 100 million anonymous movie ratings from its database, which hold up to 1.5 billion ratings. That's a lot. The company says it's the largest such data ever released. Now, the Netflix contest comes at a time when experts say advancements in recommendation systems are slowing down. The technology is used to suggest products or services to a customer based on the purchase history of the person and people with similar histories, i.e., if you were Rusty Ranchero, it'd say, you know, Broke BL Radio, Brokeback Mountain, Return to Brokeback Mountain. But anyways, Netflix declined to say what effect the 10% improvement on the system would have on sales, but recommendations from the companies and subscribers are a major contributor to Netflix's growth. Now, if contestants can't meet their goal over the next year, Netflix plans to award $50,000 to the person or groups that makes the most progress during this amount of time.
I think this will be done very fast. I like to see a company that's going to say, hey, we can't get this thing done in-house, so let's just think outside the box. Let's just tell somebody to fix our problems, and if they can, we'll pay them.
Well,
I like that.
You know,
an outside contractor in this sort of thing.
And getting back on the actual system, trying to figure out, I've seen this used and integrated in a lot of software. There's one that I go to a lot, which is iTunes. Have you ever done this? Even on podcasts, you search for a podcast like XBL Radio, and it says listeners who like XBL Radio like. Have you ever seen that?
Yes.
So I think it's the same, you know, field that it's trying to do, and I think that's kind of a cool way to do it. The only thing is sometimes when they do recommend stuff like that, it has no relevance on what I'm listening to. Have you ever noticed this? Like, you'll download, you know, a particular artist, and it'll say, if you like that, you'll like these, and they're like, no.
Yes, I've noticed that. It's pretty neat. I think it's a good thing. I think somebody will come up with something.
Well, do you take the recommendations to heart when you go to websites and, you know, they recommend, or are you your own free will? You know what you like.
I use certain sites that recommend, like, food, going out to eat and stuff like that. There are local forums where people judge and rate things, and I'm pretty sure people use it. When you go and look at a podcast, you'll look just to compare it. And as far as movies, you use the rating system in movies. You'll listen to Ebert and the fat guy, what's his name?
That is Ebert.
Oh, okay, the skinny guy.
That's Ebert and Roper.
Richard, you listen to them and you check out the reviews.
Except Ebert's sick now. He hadn't been on the show for like the past 2 months. He has some kind of, I think, maybe cancer in his larynx or something.
Really?
Which, yeah, my condolences to him. He's like one. My kid loves him, by the way. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, except when he gave like a bad review to Shrek 2, I think it was. He's pretty pissed about that still. But anyways, let's move on. And the last note here on tech news. Did you know this? TV gaming hurts school performance. What a revelation. But in Chicago, parents now have science to back them up with that revelation. Turn off the TV, it's a school night. Middle school students who watch TV or play video games during the week do worse in school, a new study finds. I do worse at work, consequently. But anyways, weekend viewing and gaming doesn't affect school performance too much. Now, on weekdays, the more they watched, the worse they did, said co-author Dr. Erman Sheriff of the Children's Hospital at Montfort in the Bronx. He also said they could watch a lot of weekends and it didn't seem to correlate with doing worse in school. Now, children whose parents allow them to watch R-rated movies also did worse in class. And for boys, the effect was especially wrong. The findings are based on a survey of 4,500 students in 15 New Hampshire and Vermont middle schools. Now, the study appears in the October issue of Pediatrics. Now, one thing they also said, the study didn't look at the grades or test scores, relying instead on the students' own rating of their performance as excellent or below average. That's like asking me, do you deserve a raise? Anyways, the researchers didn't speculate on why the boys might be more affected by R-rated movies than girls. But Douglas Gentle, who does similar research at Iowa State University, said boys might be watching more violent R-rated movies that makes them more aggressive. The aggression may lead to poor school performance, said Gentle, who was not involved in the new study. Now, one last thing they did say was the study should hammer home to parents that this is really serious. One question all parents are going to be faced with from their children is, can I have a TV in my bedroom? And there's a simple way to answer that. Previous studies have found links between the ability to learn and TV watching. Unless you're watching Dora the Explorer, probably not very helpful. Now, the American Academy of Pediatrics recommends that older children who watch no more than 2 hours of daily quality programming and that televisions be kept out of children's rooms.
This is you know how I'm about studies. I hate all these studies.
Yes.
You always got these studies. We had a study about the national park. Gaming's hurting that. Gaming's hurting everything these days. It's irrelevant. This is the worst. I hope there was no grant money used on this study right here because it's irrelevant. There's nothing it brings to the table. Everything in here is trash. There's nothing factual in this because they never looked at the grades, test scores.
And they got the kids to review their own
scores.
That would be the red flag to me, right?
Yeah,
there.
So I mean, all that's garbage.
Yeah.
The people that, I guarantee the people that did this research are dumber than the people they researched. Well, that will do it for Tech News. If there is a story you'd like to give us your opinion on, you can go to xbuildradio.com/forums. Every week after we put out the show, we start a new little forum thread of this show, and you can give us your take on it. Other than that, let's just roll into gaming news.
And in game news this week, we are rocking. That's right. Guitar Hero 2. Rocking the 360, that is.
We're rocking the suburbs. Around the clock just one more time. We're rocking the suburbs. Cause I can't tell which house is mine. We're rocking the suburbs. We climb the shades and face the facts. They got better looking fescue right across the cul-de-sac.
Red Octane's guitar-driven game takes next-gen stage on the Xbox 360. As music has made the generational leap from cassettes to CDs, so will the music games. And Red Octane today announced that the sequel to its popular Guitar Hero game is going next-generation on the 360. Now, Red Octane and Activision, which paid almost $100 million to acquire the Red Octane license, conveniently timed the announcement with XO6. The game, along with Red Octane's new Explorer controller, will be shown off at the event. Now, the companies did not release any more details on the Explorer, shaped like a presumably named after Gibson Explorer guitar, but the controller was built specifically for the Xbox 360. Now, Red Octane did not state whether the Explorer was wireless or not. It was also unclear whether or not this is the Xbox 360's version of the wireless PlayStation 2 Guitar Hero controller that was listed on GameSpot earlier this week. Now, bringing Guitar Hero 2 to the new platform means some new features. As expected, Xbox Live Marketplace will serve as a cyber jukebox for Guitar Hero 2, so get those points ready. I am really excited about this game coming to the 360.
Well, you know, two things. It will be wireless, don't you think? I mean, it's
going to be wireless. Oh, absolutely. You can't
The revenue that they'll get off this of purchasing karaoke-style songs and stuff of that nature is going to be unbelievable. I actually had the very first version of this Guitar Hero when I was growing up. It was called a tennis racket, and it was called air guitar.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Oh, man, I'm killer at
and
air
it was
guitar,
wireless.
Man.
It
I
was
can do Summer of 69.
Yeah, I can do, bro. We used to have at the local civic center, we'd have a talent show, and that would be one of my moves, bro. I could care.
Can you do that? What's it? That jump where you split the legs?
Yeah,
you know what's going to be awesome?
I never lose beat.
You know what's going to be awesome? the camera playing a parallel. You can see music video. You can do a concert, you know, from your couch.
I'm surprised they haven't done this yet, but this is, they're opening up
American
the
American Idol.
Remember the bongo for the Nintendo? Why don't we have a set of drums yet? Maybe a bass guitar, and me, you, Steve, and Rusty can get together. We can have our own virtual rock group.
Virtual jam out, man. That would be so sweet, man. And everybody, yeah, and then you could, like, press record and record actual compilations.
But this is going to be a money-making machine.
Oh, I think so.
Because it's going to come with a stock set of music, but when the new Bare Naked Ladies album comes out and you can download it onto your Xbox 360 from the marketplace to be able to play the songs.
Oh, yeah.
And stuff of that
nature.
If you're Smoke, you'll get Godsmack and Zombie and stuff of that nature and just rock out.
It will be sweet. It will take the marketplace to new heights, because I think once you're able to download songs, that's going to be a never-ending revenue cash cow for Microsoft. Every week a new song comes out.
Yeah, because there's just so many different tastes out there. It's just not, you know, I like a certain type of music. You may like a certain type of music. So they'll have, you know, a library of music out there for everybody's taste, I imagine.
All they're lacking doing now is tying it into the Zoom somehow and being able to take your music on the road with you.
So how much do you think these songs will cost on the marketplace? Just if you're guessing.
I think it'll be $1.99 probably. It's not going to be the 99 cent, because you can do more with it. As you know, karaoke songs are always more expensive than the original songs.
Now, that would be neat if it did work with your PC anywhere, and you could pay $2 or $3 for the song, and you could also take it off and put it on your Zoom. That would be neat.
It would be pretty cool.
I think you're right. I think $2 to $2.50 is what it's going to cost for a song.
I think the best way to make this thing work out is that if you could do what some of the other programs have done and be able to, like, transfer, you know, songs over from your PC into the Xbox, like you do with the Media Center.
Wow, I don't think they're going to let you do that.
No, I don't
that
either.
That will take away from... They're already going to be
selling it.
They're already going to be hurting on their themes right now, because everybody's using their camera to make their own themes, so that's going to...
Yeah, but Guitar Hero 3, man, rock on.
Yes, I'm excited.
Well, we were talking about exclusivity for video games, and the PS3 seems to be losing grasp on these bad boys, but the Microsoft is picking up where the PS2 left off. They get BioShock and Splinter Cell 5 exclusively. That's right, Microsoft kicked off its XO6 event in Barcelona this week with an array of big announcements at its media briefing, not the least of which was a pair of anticipated titles becoming exclusive for the Xbox 360 and the PC. First off, Microsoft snatched up exclusively on Irrational Games BioShock, which looks really cool, man. Chosen by GameSpot editors earlier this year as the Electronics Entertainment Expo 2006 Game of Show. Now, BioShock was previously slated to be released on the PC only and next generation console systems. An Xbox 360 version was shown behind closed doors at this event. Another big exclusive announcement from the media briefing was that the next installment of the Splinter Cell series would be coming only for Microsoft's next-gen title. And we mean the next installment, not the one coming out now, but the next one coming out after Double Agent. Also, BioShock is expected to release next spring, with the next installment of Splinter Cell has not been officially named or dated yet, but it will be exclusive to the 360.
Well, if you remember several shows back when we did the roundtable with K-Rock, Gavin from PS3, and Go Nintendo, that was what we said that one of the niches is going to have to be for this console is the exclusivity rights. Microsoft seems to keep picking up where Sony has left off. Sony used to be the big guy that had all the rights to certain games like GTA and stuff of that nature. Now you've got Microsoft either owning the studio, so they can only put it out themselves, or
Bungie
getting locked in.
Absolutely. And, you know, I mean, with Splinter Cell being wrapped up, I mean, there's another big cash cow, you know, gone, and cloning Clyde. I mean, what can you say? Well, all you Bungie fans who are desperately waiting the new Halo movie or even the new Halo 3 video game, I know you're all excited. Halo Wars, the new RTS, has been released. A real-time strategy game based on the Halo universe has been announced. And the project entitled Halo Wars will be designed by Ensemble Studios, who also did Age of Empires. Now, this announcement comes weeks after Bungie issued a cease and desist order to the Halo Gen project as CNC General's mod based on the Halo universe. It was at this time that 1UP's Luke Smith predicted an official Halo RTS in collaboration with Bungie. Now, somebody buy this man a drink because he nailed it. That's right. After bringing Scott Henson, director of the games development group at Microsoft, up to speed on the Halo Gen incident, he assured us that Halo Wars has absolutely nothing to do with that. Whether he meant the mod shutdown or the game's inception is vague. The original Halo Combat Evolved in earlier stages of development was actually a real-time strategy game in the vein of Myth, another Bungie RTS. Now, you can read all about the pages over there over at Bungie's website. We're very intrigued by the thought of a Halo strategy title. We're a bit concerned about the gameplay and how it will cross over to the Xbox 360 controller.
You know what? Luke Smith could not have been more on target when he called this. I mean, you're talking about having that jump on something. I never thought of that as being a time, but yeah, you're right. Kudos to that.
That's one reason you want to listen to 1UP instead of us.
Yeah, but I tell you what, everybody's getting really excited about this game. I really don't know that much about it yet to get that excited about it. There have been plenty of games out there that have had the same name and been a flop, as well as movies. There's plenty of movies out there that, like Rocky 1, 2, you know, stuff of that nature. So there's no telling if this is going to be a good game yet or not, because they've really only got one other game that they put out, what, 5 years ago that was actually pretty good?
Yeah, but you know, at the same time, and I've heard, I mean, I had people sending me IMs all day when this was announced saying, Halo's got a new game coming out before Halo 3, and all you got to do is put, you know, Halo on something, you know what I'm saying? So, I mean, you know, Halo shampoo, it's the best shampoo ever, it makes your hair glow and glisten. You know, I mean, it doesn't matter what you put on, if it's got Halo and Bungie tied to it, people are going to be interested.
Yeah, they will, but I hate that, it may hurt it in the long run.
Yeah, it may, because, you know, they do that to movies a lot. They put the from the director of the creator. Yeah, and then it sucks, and after two or three of those, then Bruckheimer can't sell you a film anymore. There is no Volcano 2, by the way. Well, I don't know if you were all fans of the old Genesis series Sonic, but my kid is, and we've been playing the Sonic demo. That's right, Sonic demo was announced and released on Xbox Live this week, as well as a barrage of other game titles, including some other demos and trailers like Luminous Live, which absolutely is a fun multiplayer game. And I know some people who aren't fans of the Luminous series need to really take this demo to heart. Play it, see if you don't have fun, and see if you can't, you know, anticipate what it's going to be like playing against some of your friends online, trying to knock them off the pillars. A bunch of demos coming out on Xbox Live Marketplace. Keep looking at the Marketplace updates. They're coming out a lot lately, and a bunch of good stuff coming out. As a matter of fact, the Sonic does look like it was enhanced for the Xbox 360 and does look like it has some new moves and grooves as the little guy with his friends tags along to grab those rings of light.
You know, I downloaded Sonic the Hedgehog. I downloaded all the demos to check them out, and I've been downloading the movie trailers. It just takes like 8 days to get one movie because it's everybody's going after him. But I'll tell you what, I did play Sonic. I really didn't get into it. Looked beautiful. But the one I'm excited about is Luminous. Man, how fun is that to play sumo ball? That is awesome.
It was awesome. It was a blast, wasn't it?
Yeah, I don't think Steve or Rusty really got into it, but I think that's going to be a great online multiplayer game or versus game if you're playing against your kid.
Yeah, I heard them on the live. They weren't too hep on it, but, you know.
Oh, that's going to be a blast.
You know, it reminds me of, like, almost, what's it called, the Mario Brawl, you know, Smash Brothers, but on a different scale, and it just looked like
fun. The sumo ball, I had so much fun. I was just playing against the computer, but it was so much fun just playing that sumo ball, and then the one on the ice where you had to melt the ice to get to the coin.
Oh, I like that one too. The sumo ball was the blast. That was the shiznit, because I was playing with my two little boys, and never did I think that I would ever laugh so much. My wife came downstairs and says, "Who keeps hitting daddy's balls?" And it's not even close to Super Bowl time. It's not even halftime for the season yet. Yet Xbox Live Madden 360 tourney is coming. I guess you want to get this out before Madden 2008 comes out next week. Anyways, the Madden Challenge has been long the gaming equivalent of the Super Bowl. Sponsored by Electronic Arts, the annual tournament looks for the best NFL Madden players to compete for bragging rights, glory, and $100,000. This year, the competition went international, and today Microsoft and EA announced that the competition is going somewhere else it's never been. That's online. The Xbox Live Madden NFL 07 tournament begins October 5th, and with those interested in competing, duking it out online competition on their Xbox 360s over the Xbox Live Arcade, after October 10th, the top 512 players on the leaderboard who have registered for the tournament will head to bracket play. The winner of the tournament will be flown to Honolulu, Hawaii, and will be placed in the finals of the Madden Challenge for a chance at $100,000. The top 8 players will receive Visa cash cards, and the top 16 will receive 1,000 Xbox Live Marketplace points. For more information on the Xbox Live Madden NFL 07 tournament, head over to the official Xbox page on Xbox.com.
That's pretty cool. I like to say this is not, I don't think this is the first time to do a tournament. EA's been on a couple different ones. But do you think Steve's going to join up and represent XBL?
Hey, that would be awesome, man. You know, yeah, go for it, Steve. And a moment ago, we were talking about exclusivity on some of the consoles and, you know, the way PlayStation's been losing a lot of their exclusive titles. Well, hey, all you Oblivion fans, you know, hey, you're about to lose your exclusive title. That's right. The rumors are true. Oblivion is heading to the PS3, and upcoming cover story of official PlayStation Magazine has it on their exclusive first look. Here's what we know so far. The game will introduce a new faction to the Oblivion world, one that's right at the beginning called the Knights of the Nine, and described its developers as the Good Dark Brotherhood. The goal here is to become the Divine Crusader. Think part warrior, part priest. And the quest features include new features, characters, armors, and weapons. Fans may already be expected to hear that the series is heading to the PSP in Elder Scrolls Travels Oblivion, a game that plays very similar to its big brother, but takes place in a completely different setting. For more information on both of these games, check out the cover story on the November issue of the official PlayStation Magazine on store shelves soon.
Now, the big rumor about this is horse armor is coming with the game where you don't have to purchase it.
And you know by the sound of those sirens, it's console crimes time. And if you're a listener to the XBL Radio Podcast, you know by now that this is the part of the show where we tell you about all this notorious goings-on in the tech and gaming world. Well, the feds have targeted gaming once again, with many state legislators fighting and failing to install laws that would prohibit children from being exposed to violent video and sexually explicit games. It appears that federal lawmakers are taking a different approach to the issue. Now, while the Family Entertainment Protection Act proposed last year that it would levy fines for those M-rated games to minors, a trio of other bills introduced since then focus on ensuring the ratings are accurate rather than enforced. Now, another bill taking aim at the ratings board has been put before the House of Representatives, and it was introduced by Representative Fred Upton. The Video Game Decency Act of 2006 takes aim at publishers who would undermine the ratings process by hiding objectionable content in games to receive more of a favorable rating. Once again, we're being told that they need to make sure that everything that's in the game has to be disclosed.
Well, it was an isolated incident that GTA, they did do that. Now, they purposely, I think they did the hot coffee scene.
Yes, I think they did.
But it was already rated M for mature. That's the highest rating. So what does it really matter if it was in there or not? In the back, it did say sex. It completely, you know, yada, 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 and stuff of that nature.
Yeah, it just didn't say sex within it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know what? It was a one game out of how many games are out there. So they're just looking at one game. It shows you one bad apple can spoil the whole bunch there, and that's what they're looking at. It's going to happen. They're going to get their hands on it, but it's not going to make any difference. Look how well they've done with the terrorist alert. I mean, we've changed color codes every how many times? It's numb. It's mind numbing. It's like the cigarette ads. It's like the video industry. Its parents have to take responsibility and check what their kids are watching, playing. It's not the government. It's not the gaming industry. It's the parents.
Well, you know, and the thing is, I mean, video games haven't crossed that border yet between, you know, really sexually explicit things like Hollywood movies, and even the internet has done. I mean,
I don't know. Saints Row did just pretty much test those limits.
It came close, but there wasn't like intercourse or something like that.
Whereas, well, there
like,
was in the back of a car. Didn't you hear about the stain?
Yes, I heard about it, but I didn't physically see it. And what happens is there will come a time. I mean, I don't know if you would ever be interested, but I mean, who would ever buy a game? And I know that they're out there. Somebody would. Steve, want to buy a game that might have sex within a video game.
Well,
I mean,
didn't they make one
so?
For the PlayStation? The PlayStation and the Xbox that was you were a Hugh Hefner and...
Yes, it was called the Playboy Mansion, but I don't think it showed...
I thought that showed boobs.
I don't know.
There was another game out there. Oh, I wish I could remember.
The guy game?
The guy game.
Yeah. You know, there are games that have gotten to the limit, but pretty soon, I wonder if that time will ever come. I'm sure somewhere in the unmainstream facets of programming, there are probably those games that are around. But mainstream, it hasn't come yet because there hadn't been a big demand. But I've noticed that on the internet, there's an awful lot. You know this stuff called hentai, like the Japanese, you know, animation stuff? There's a lot of hentai porn out there. And, you know, I personally tried to masturbate with it once, but I got a hell of a paper cut.
Yeah, you got to make sure you wet the paper first.
Before you point and click when surfing the web, listen up. Just this week, Microsoft quickly issued a security patch to fix a flaw in its Internet Explorer browser.
It's everything after version 5. Any computer running Windows XP, Windows Server 2000 or 2003, any of the more recent operating systems, this is a very broad-based problem.
The security flaw allows cyber crooks to gain access to your home computer after you click on a tainted website. Once they're in, they can steal account logons and other sensitive data. Computer security experts say there are a few steps you can take to protect yourself from falling victim to cyber crooks.
If you get an email as an advertisement, rather than clicking on that link in the email, open up a web browser and go to the website yourself.
Don't know the person or institution which sent you that email? Experts say don't open it. The email could actually be a phishing scam where cyber criminals fish for your personal information.
These are attempts to get someone's confidential information by sending them an email solicitation, getting them to go to a fraudulent website that looks like their bank or some other trusted institution where they'd give up their confidential information.
Never give out your banking information, usernames, or passwords.
No company is going to be requesting that through email.
Experts say give your PC added layers of protection by installing a physical firewall and inoculating your computer with internet security software. For the Shoppers Market in New York, Brenda Butner, Fox News.
So I guess the object of what you just heard is to make sure that no matter what browser you're using or how you're surfing the internet, try to be anonymous as possible and try to prohibit other sites from getting into your system by using things as pop-up blockers, spyware, and whatnot. Now, most of you people that listen to this show obviously are a little bit savvy to be able to download these podcasts, but there are those out there, younger people especially, who haphazardly go to these third-party gaming sites, and I'm going to say this. Some of these third-party gaming sites, you know, they're notorious for putting pop-up ads, spyware, and things to track your internet abilities, and, you know, you got to be careful on these fly-by-night sites.
Yeah, you know, you just got to be careful which sites you do go to, and you got to be careful. Just do religiously do spyware, get some phishing software, and keep your internet security up. If you have Apple, it's less worrisome stuff to go about. But if you do have Internet Explorer or Firefox, be careful what you're doing, how you do it. Keep your cookies cleaned out and stuff of that nature.
But one last thing I want to talk about before we leave is that the Internet Explorer 7, there's actually an update now, and it's still in beta testing. It's not the finished product, but it does actually incorporate some neat phishing, anti-phishing tools within it. And if you don't really know what phishing is, what it does is it kind of prevents other sites from anonymously going into your computer and gaining access to all your things. I mean, I was just talking to a friend the other day, and he's an avid online poker player, and he actually gives his credit card information out so he can bet online. And I haven't reached that level of honesty and trust to give somebody my account number, have you?
Right, only to porn sites.
And that's pretty much going to wrap it up here at Console Crimes. Stick around, because after the promo break, we're going to come right back with a couple game reviews that I think you're really going to go all in for.
Sam Fisher. This time, you're going deep undercover. Now I'm a wanted man. I used to hunt terrorists. Now I am one.
Have a little problem.
I used to take orders.
Finish your mission.
Now I execute them. I become a double agent. My name is Sam Fisher. I am a double agent. Tom Clancy's Splinter Cell double agent.
Hi, what channel is that station on?
Gamer Tag.
You're listening to the sound of Gamer Tag.
Y'all like to give a big up to Doc.
Miss 90. None.
Peace out.
Oh, cool.
Get the latest news, reviews, interviews.
Xbox Live community.
I just want to say you guys have a great show.
And more at GamersNightRadio.com.
Xbox Live community.
Well, once again here on XBL Radio, it's time to ante up. the very first CD-based game for the Xbox 360 has arrived. World Series of Poker Tournament of Champions, the 2007 edition, has come out for the Xbox 360. It supports up to one player offline. It has 1080i resolution, custom soundtracks, in-game Dolby Digital, Xbox Live Vision Camera support, which is really cool, and we'll get into that a little bit later, online multiplayer for up to 2 to 16 players at any given time, leaderboards, and voice chat. And being our resident poker fan over here, won't you welcome the other guy to tell us, how did you like this game?
I liked this game. I thought it was a pretty good game, but, you know, once again, here's another poker game to review. We have reviewed almost every single poker game out there from the Xbox to the Xbox 360. For some reason, we at XBLRadio.com have an infatuation with poker games.
Absolutely. So let's get right into the meat of it, put our chips on the table, and talk about the graphics.
One up every poker game out there that I've played on the computer, PC version, or on the Xbox 360, the best graphical enhanced game out there to date.
Well, tell me about some of the features of the graphics. What were some of the graphic enhancements that actually supplemented the way you play poker?
Well, I like the way that you were able to look at your cards. It's like watching on ESPN. You can flip your cards up with your thumb and just barely look at the card, the suit, and see what you got. It's kind of like hiding it from everybody else. The movie star players, I guess you can call it, look pretty realistic. But the really great part was face masking. The face masking was awesome. You could face mask this game. You could wrap your face around the computer-generated person that you're playing with.
Well, in the face masking, that gets into the fact that it actually utilizes one of the very first games to actually go all in, if you will, with the video camera, correct?
Yes, it uses two different factions on the camera. You also have a live video chat, so when someone's bidding and they're thinking, you actually can look at the visual response of their face, body language, and stuff of that nature.
Well, tell me, so with the actual face mapping, everyone out there is probably curious because this is one of the first games to implement that on the Xbox 360. How easy was it to do this?
Well, it depends on how you look at it. It's very easy if you take it serious, but it's kind of difficult at times if you're goofing off and not trying to follow the instructions as taken. For instance, it's going to take two shots. It takes a front shot, and it takes a side shot. Then it gets that, and it wraps the face. Well, when you're taking the front shot, it says, don't be expressionless and just look at the camera. Well, if you're goofing off and making goofy smiles and crossing your eyes, it has a harder time wrapping your face, but it will work, but it'll just take a couple more times to do it.
Okay, and then also I found this to be a part of it as well. You have to have some kind of lighting on your face in doing it because it seems that the face masking feature in the game actually looks for certain landmarks on your face, such as an ear, an eye, a nose. And if it doesn't see those, let's put it this way, for all you immature people out there, if you try to put your butt on the face, I don't think it would work.
No, I haven't tested that out yet, but I'm pretty sure it has been.
Unless you have ears on your butt. Anyways, I digress. Let's talk about another feature that utilizes the Xbox 360 Live Vision camera with this game. You can actually create your own custom poker room.
Yeah, that's true. You can edit a room to have it look similar to your room at home, and you can take snapshots of your carpet, your walls, and pictures and stuff, and it will simulate that into a fashion, into a room. That way, when you're playing poker with someone else, they're actually at your house playing with you.
So this actually makes it, you know, the official poker night at your home.
Yeah, Thursday night poker.
That's kind of neat. Seems like they implement a lot of stuff. Now let's talk about some of the mechanics of the game. How easy was this game to control?
Very easy. This game had what I think every poker game should have, and that has a skip button and a fast forward button. There's actually two different ways. After you make your bet, you can go ahead and just hit A and skip to the next round, or you can go into the options and say, okay, I want it to go through the round medium, slow, fast. And if you pick fast, right after you make your bet, boom, everybody else bets, it's your turn. You can play a tournament in about 45 minutes to an hour.
Exactly. But there's one thing I must tell you. Based on how you play this game, the artificial intelligence reacts to it. So some of you who are not so savvy with some of the older poker models and who are just picking up poker for the first time and want to get this game to play online with your buddies, keep in mind that if you go fast, you'll miss out on all the features that this game actually reacts to on its AI. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, this game is really built in some tells. I mean, if someone's coughing, yawning, stretching, you can actually, when it goes around the table, they give a little hints of if they've got something or do not have something. If you can really pick out that tell, then you can really run the table with that person. But if you're going through the fast mode, you're never going to see that tell at all.
So it's really a game that if you're a beginner, you may want to pay attention to some of the actual aspects that they have implemented in here for the character AI.
Yeah, or if you're just playing and you're wanting to make sure you get a really big bankroll here at the final table, slow it down so you can really use the implements of the Tails.
Okay, now let's talk about one other feature of this game. It does have, you know, some hard achievements and stuff, but online play, how is that versus, like, maybe the Texas Hold'em?
Well, I think all games should be online play, especially poker. That's what I really care about. I don't want to play against a computer all day, but the only bad thing is there's no online achievements.
Oh, okay, so no matter how long you play, but there is online leaderboards,
yes,
and tournaments and things such as that.
All the achievements are offline.
Wow. Well, that sounds pretty interesting. Well, overall, is there any part of this game that you did not like?
I did not like the console version as much as I do the online, just because I'm not playing against a computer. I am playing against someone else. But I did notice that it seems to give the computer a unfair tilt in most cases.
Yes, it does. It seems like if you're not paying attention and you're playing this game and you're just whizzing through it trying to get the achievements or beat the tournaments, you're in for a big surprise. This could be kind of time-consuming and cumbersome, and you really have to plot out when to go all in. I mean, there were times within this game that I played, and I've only unlocked like two tournament modes, and that's after playing 15 or 20 times that I actually was successful in taking everybody out of the table. And the reason for that is it seemed a lot of times if you had two aces and you just haphazardly went all in as you would do on that free poker game, Texas Hold'em, on the arcade, then it would make sure that the players that were against you would have a better pair almost 90% of the time.
Well, it got more obscure than that. I had a three of a kind with a king kicker, then, you know, my opponent had three of a kind with an ace kicker. You know, I have a high straight, and he has a high straight with a kicker that I don't have. I'd have a flush, but he has an ace flush. He always beat me by one card. It's not like I had a high flush with a seven, and then he had a high flush with a king. It was always by one dimension.
So it seems like this game is trying to be a little bit more realistic. And the other thing about this game is it seems that it wants you to play the way it wants you to play. Now, if you're online playing with your buddies, it's a whole new ball game. You play the way you've always played, where everybody goes all in because it's not real money. But offline, it is kind of real money, and they want to make sure that you understand the ability of going all in, what it could cost you if you were sitting at a real table in Vegas. Now, one thing I want to say at the end of this, let's wrap it up. And what did you actually think about World Series of Poker?
I thought it was a great game. It's a shame that no one's playing this game and no one's going to play this game because they got the free poker. I mean, it was a great online game, but the fact there's no one playing it. The rooms are scarce and far between because everybody's playing Texas Hold'em on the arcade, which I'm even playing more than this game. But I'm going to give this game a 7.5 out of 10 because they really could have worked on the offline version a little bit more and put some online achievements, and it would have been a greater game. What about you?
Where am I going with this game? Well, you know me. I'm a big poker fan. I actually bought this game. I mean, I didn't GameFly it. I was ready and willing to pay down the money to actually have camera support and face masking, two features I found work exceptionally well within the game. The only thing I didn't like about the game was the constant lockups that the game had through parts of it. I mean, as a matter of fact, most of them happened at the worst times. When I got to the final table, boom, locked up, I lost everything. I figured out a way to get around that by just obviously saving your game progressively throughout the game when you're doing well. Another part of the game that I did not like that much was the just way the AI in the game seemed to be, you know, parlayed more in the favor of the AI than you, and maybe that's just part of the game trying to make you really work on your poker skills and, you know when to hold them, know when to fold them, know when to walk away, and know when to run. But the one thing I'm saying, overall, I would give this game an 8 other than those two things. I thought it was a very well thought out game and very well done. I think it should have been a little bit cheaper, maybe $25 or $30, and I know that sounds terrible. How can you say $30 for a 360 game? Well, how? Because I think that the Xbox 360 Texas Hold'em is going to hurt the curb appeal of this game. Had it been $30, I think it could compete with it with some of the camera-enabled support. And at the end of this review, I want to give my 2 cents on what I think happened with the launch of this game and the launch of the Texas Hold'em. You want to chime in on this?
I think you're going for the conspiracy theory, correct?
I am going for the
conspiracy theory. Just let everybody know your conspiracy theory.
I'm going to let you guys know. I think that this game would have been a successful game had it come out before Texas Hold'em. I think a lot more people would be playing it online. However, I think that the people who are behind Texas Hold'em made sure that they did not have camera support on theirs to make this game have the ability to have some kind of selling presence on the shelves. The reason I'm saying that is, for one reason. Every other game out there on the Xbox Live Marketplace that enables cards, including Hearts, Uno, and Backgammon.
Spades.
Yeah, exactly, Spades. All those games seem to have no problem having camera support really quickly. This game came out about the same time, and the only game that doesn't, that everybody would love to have camera support on, is what?
Texas Hold'em on the arcade.
Yeah, so, I mean, you draw your own conclusions. I think that's dirty pool. I think you should let competition, you know, run its course, and I think all things being considered, this game might have stood a chance had it come out before.
Or if it was priced cheaper, because the face masking is pretty unbelievable.
It is a really good game to play online with your buddies. Texas Hold'em World Series of Poker for the Xbox 360 Tournament Champions 2007 edition.
So if you can get your buddies to buy this game, then get it.
To know when to hold 'em, know when to fold 'em, know when to walk away, know when to run. You never count your money when you're sitting at the table. There'll be time enough for counting when the dealing's done.
Well, since version 27, we've had two arcade titles hit the arcade, one free, one not free. We've got Doom and Totem Ball, but we're going to talk about Doom for a little while and see what you think about it, because I know, Carpal, you're a very big Doom fan. You go back to the Wolfenstein days and the big old Doom head. So how did you like this game? What did you think about it? Did you download it? Did you buy it or just demo it?
Well, naturally, I downloaded it, and at a hefty 800 Microsoft points, it was kind of tempting to leave it alone because I can play this game online. I actually have the old game on my PC, and so it really meant not that much to me, other than the fact that I could play online with my buddies. And also the fact that buying the Xbox 360 Vision camera, I got 400 Microsoft points, so I figured, what the hell, it's only going to cost me 400 at the end of the day.
Well, with all that decision-making, how was the graphics in Doom? Did they look like the old-school graphics, or did they enhance them at all?
I don't think they were enhanced even a bit, man. I mean, it reminded you, from the minute you started the first level, even the startup screen, identical to what it used to be like to boot up your computer and wait for 30 minutes for your boot disk to work and play Doom.
Right. Okay. My big question is, did it have the black bars to the left and right, or did it enable the full screen?
Once again, you're in black bar territory. Now, you can widen the screen a little bit like you used to be able to do on the old Doom game, make it a little bit larger, but any larger and you start missing pieces of the game. So
your PC version's not like that, though, is it? It enables the whole screen, is that correct?
Yeah, but a PC is also square.
Yeah, I'm just asking. But
yeah, no, you're right.
You know, because, you know, my... The totem ball enables a whole screen.
Yes, it does.
So why can't Doom?
I don't know.
Okay, what about the audio levels?
The audio levels were about the same. I mean, it had the old Doom firing guns, as you can hear in the background now. And it had, you know, the same, you know, voiceovers from the monsters and stuff. So it pretty much was repetitious. The music was repetitious. But, I mean, it was very reminiscent and brought back the old nostalgic days of playing Doom all through college and, you know, failing my entrance exam.
So does it have... Now, it has two different parts of this game. It has offline and online. Are they both pretty much mirror to each other? Or is the online more superior?
Well, you know, here's where the crux of the game comes in, because I don't think anybody's really going to want to play this game offline all that much unless they just want to grab the achievements and leave. But, you know, the online play is really where it's at. It's a lot of fun playing online. I just had some issues with it. Now, of course, Steve, Silent Cypher, and myself, we all got online like the first day it came out. We were all playing in a room, and we actually ramped it up all the way to the extreme level where you're playing, and it's just, you know, Katie barred the door. There's, you know, monsters everywhere. They're respawning every 5 seconds. You're running into each other, and here's the problem, though. It didn't flow real well. It didn't seem like you're actually playing with online players, more so than you could actually hear what they were saying and see where they, you know, they would tell you where they were and what they were accomplishing during the game. But as far as, like, you know, co-op, which is what we play, by the way, it didn't feel like you were actually sharing in the experience. It felt like you were more a part of it.
Now, in the co-op version, are your players safe from your bullets, or do you have to be careful not to take out one of your cohorts?
No, I plastered Steve all over the wall every time I had a chance.
Wow, that sounded like you did it intentionally.
Yes, I did.
Okay, so what are you going to give this game?
You know, I'm going to give this game, we rated it on a 5. I am going to be honest and say, for the sake of having Doom on my Xbox 360, which is really the thing, it's like having Pulp Fiction, you know, the extended version on your DVD collection. It is a must-have if you're an avid gamer, so I'm going to say a 4 out of 5. The only drawback from giving it a 5 out of 5 is I think they could have implemented a lot better, you know, things in there. And one last thing I want to say about this game, lag. Why is there lag on this game? You can run an Xbox 360 video camera. You can download 12 graphics. You can play Halo 2 with extended maps and new features. I mean, you can have all kinds of, you know, effects on all these other games. This game is as simple as it gets compared to nowadays, and there is actual lag within the game.
So it is a must purchase for you.
It's a must purchase for any person who's nostalgic and says, I want an arcade game that reminds me of arcade games. Okay. This is it.
Well, thank you for that mini review. Now we've got a special kids pick that Cameron and Alex are going to bring to us about Lego Halo, correct?
No, not yet. We can cross our fingers. It is Lego Star Wars 2.
Wow, so they did this game and they're going to bring it to us. So let's go right in here. Hey, y'all come walk in here and give us a heads up on what you like. I'll let you talk to your dad for a few minutes. I'll give you the headset and I'm going to walk out of the room.
Okay, before we start talking about the game, I just want to ask you boys, Alexander, have you seen the actual Star Wars movies?
Some of them, like part 3 and maybe part
1. Oh, the newer ones with Jar Jar Binks and stuff? So you haven't seen some of the older ones? We've watched parts of them, but you haven't really gotten into them as much, right?
Mm-mm.
How about you, Cam? Have you seen the old ones or the new ones?
The new ones and the old ones.
Now, I know something about you, Cam. You played the original Lego Star Wars, did you not?
I played it a lot, but now since I have Lego Star Wars 2, I played that this one a lot.
Oh, so that's right. So which one of the two games, I mean, did you like the first one?
Yes.
So you were excited to get the second one, right?
Yes.
Well, tell us a little bit, what is different about Lego Star Wars 2 than Lego Star Wars?
You can build and ride vehicles, and you can mix and match characters.
Oh, yeah, that is two things. Now, mixing and matching characters. Cameron, did you try any mixing matching? Who did you create that you mix and match?
Princess Leia when she was a prisoner, and then Han Solo.
Watch your mouth, kid. You're going to find yourself floating home.
This one's something that's new. On Lego Star Wars 1, you can't punch, and on this one, you can punch.
Oh, really? Oh, so yeah. You can't actually punch on this one, and on the first one, you couldn't?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And Chewbacca can pull off people's arms.
Oh, yeah. I thought that was... That's right, he'll run up and literally pull their arms out of the socket. Now, this Star Wars, compared to the other one, I thought it was really interesting because it really had some cute, fun, funny stuff in there. Do you remember any funny stuff about it, Kim?
Yes.
Go ahead.
On this level, at the very end, when I won it by myself, Han Solo was standing right on top of something. Then it just fell down right on me.
Oh, is that right? So it had some funny cutscenes. You guys did play this game by yourselves and let them know that Daddy did not beat this game. It was you guys, wasn't it? Who did most of it?
Me.
You did? I saw you also completed the bonus level and got an achievement, didn't you?
Oh, and I didn't even die once. And then I got that achievement.
I saw that. You completed a level without dying and got a bonus achievement. That is awesome. So this game is something that kids your age can play pretty easily, huh? Well, tell me, and I'll let you go first, Alex. What are some of your favorite parts about Lego Star Wars? Go ahead.
To open, secret doors and stuff, you have to get at least a mask on, like a stormtrooper or an,
maybe like a bounty hunter, you need Boba Fett.
Yeah, Boba
or...
Hunter. Yeah.
Now, I noticed you could actually...
And then you can, like, pull, like, a trigger and then it comes on your head and stuff.
Oh, so it was kind of neat because it implemented the fact that you need to disguise yourself to break into different levels. You like that part a lot?
Well, you don't really disguise yourself. They know if you're a bad guy.
Well, oh, they do?
Unless you don't shoot them.
Okay, all right. And Cameron, what was one of your favorite parts about the game?
And my favorite part was when I beat the episode. I don't know what episode it is. Yeah, the last one on episode 6.
Mm-hmm.
I like it because I beat it by myself, no help.
I know that. I thought that was amazing. Now, one thing I want to ask you.
That's how I beat it by myself without dying. That's when I got the no dying.
Yeah, they had the party, didn't they?
Yeah,
now, one other thing I want to ask you about this Lego Star Wars game. I think you actually liked it a lot, Cameron, because you collect a lot of coins. Now, what can you do with those coins? Just go ahead, guys.
Buy people.
Yeah.
Buy gadgets, buy stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And
did it have a lot of stuff you could buy and pick up?
Yeah.
A lot of characters you could unlock?
You don't have to buy some.
We only need 3 more. They're Yoda Ghost, Anakin Ghost, and
Luke Ghost. And Obi-Wan Ghost.
And if you get those 3, you probably get another achievement for all characters unlocked. One other thing I noticed they had on Xbox Live Marketplace, you can download all the characters now from the old Star Wars games. Who else can you play as in this?
You can play as Jar Jar Binks.
Yeah?
You can't play
Jabba the Hutt. Yeah, you can't. Yeah, can you not?
No. But there is a door that's on Jabba the Hutt that you
can Yeah, and you save like, all the people.
You have to save people, like, all the people.
You know what? Jabba the Hutt, I mean, he was one of my favorite guys. As a matter of fact, I like his pizza from Pizza the Hutt.
Yeah. Hit. I get it.
You get it?
Well, you can be Jar Jar Binks. You know the guys with those white swords?
It's the guy with the white swords.
And they have these pink things around the sides?
Sure, yeah.
And they do like a big jump and flip.
Okay, so you both seem to like this game. You like the unlockable features. You like being able to play as all the different characters. Did you like it more than the first game?
Yeah, they were both pretty fun, so I can't really just...
Okay, but which one for you, Cameron? 360 or the regular Xbox?
I like the 360...
I would give it a 9 on a 10.
A 9 or a 10. So it was really good, right?
I would give it a 9.
A 10. Sounds good enough. How about you, Alex? You give it a 9. All right. Well, that's great, man. And, you know, I really appreciate both of you guys coming into the studio and talking to us about, you know, Star Wars 2 from Lego. And this game, by the way, is from LucasArts and Tall Tale Games. And by the way, we had Tall Tale Games in our studio not long ago. So you may want to tell them, hey, from Cameron and Alexander here at Kids Kicks, thank you, Tall Tale.
Thank you for the game. The Force is with you, young Skywalker.
Good job, Alex and Cam. That was a great review. Hey, why don't you let me see if I can borrow that Lego Star Wars from when y'all through playing with it.
No way, the other guy. Yeah, I'm getting King Kong back yet.
On XBL Radio, we don't like it if you cheat. So here's our useless tip of the week.
Well, here's the tip. Next time you borrow a game from my kids, why don't you give it back? That way they will be sure and give you more. Speaking about useless tips, do you have a useless tip this week for any of the games you played?
I will give us a useless tip for Totem Ball. And that useless tip is quit picking up the controller because you cannot use it to steer the totem ball and the turtle. You have to use your hands. The controller is irrelevant unless you want to pause the game.
I've gotten so frustrated with flapping my hands back and forth and stuff that I've actually, you know, sat down and tried to pick up the controller. I was like, damn it, man. You know, so I'm with you on that.
Carpal, do you have a useless tip for us?
Yes, I do, as a matter of fact. I have a great useless tip. As you're playing Texas Hold'em Poker, during the parts of the game, it does occasionally lock up. But I will give you an advantage. While you're playing, if you want to actually beat any of the tournament levels, while you're playing, every time that you go all in or win a really big hand, go just push your Y button. When it goes to exit game, exit the game at that point. And then what can happen is you go right back into the tournament, start the tournament from where you left off with your amount of money. And then as you progress through the game, every time you lose big, don't do that. Do the opposite. Press your X button and just completely go to the Xbox dashboard. Then you'll restart from where your last big amount was, and you can actually accomplish winning the games and the tournaments to move on. And it also ensures that upon a lockup, you don't lose anything.
Wow, that is actually a good useless tip. I never thought about cheating like that.
Yeah, that's what I'm here for.
Well, good job. I think that's the best useless tip you've brought to the table to date.
And we're about ready to wrap up the show, but no show would be complete with a little bit of forum and website feedback. Now, on our forum now, we are getting into a mode here where we're going to ask you a poll question each and every week, kind of get you involved with the XBL Radio Show. Hear your input on what it's like. All it is simply a mouse click away. It takes no time at all, and you can actually have your gamer tag be heard, or at least noted with our new forum. And what was our poll question this week?
Well, the Vision Camera came out for the Xbox 360, and you've got all these new add-ons coming out for the Wii as well for the PS3. We figured we would ask you, what is your most memorable add-on for any console to date?
Yeah, and that's kind of interesting. And you know what? It got very nostalgic because we had a lot of people, you know, came onto our forums and they were sitting there saying, wow, you know, that is really cool because I don't remember that or I never thought about that. And so let's talk about it.
So let's just run down the list. This is a no order. We'll just give you the list of...
So what was one of the most unanticipated, you know, the ones that nobody really cared about?
That would be the multi-tap from the Sony.
Yeah, as a matter of fact...
Someone got really mad because someone voted for that. But if you remember, that was a pretty big add-on at the time. You only could play two people on a console, and that added to where you can play up to 4 to 8 people.
Exactly, and that was kind of a cool add-on. But, you know, I guess not cool enough. Speaking of people not really liking add-ons, I mean, it might have been the price. You know, it surely wasn't a peripheral. Steel Battalion for the Xbox.
Yeah, you know, that didn't make it the list. No one really... I guess it was too big and junky. But the one that really surprised me was no one voted for the iToy.
Yeah, that's amazing. amazing. Now, that might be a little bit of part of some politics based on the fact that a lot of people are Xbox fanboys, you know, over on our site, and there's nothing wrong with that. You know, you have to be loyal somewhere, but it all started from the iToy. Even the camera we're playing on now might not be as well defined if it wasn't for the success of the Sony iToy.
Yeah, and also the mouse pad, which I kind of figured the mouse and the mouse pad from Nintendo, I didn't think it would get that many votes.
But let's talk about the mouse pad for a second. I actually owned one of these. As a matter of fact, you could actually make animated cartoons and comic strips, and I had a lot of fun doing that back in the late 80s and stuff, if I remember right, and it was a lot of fun. It brought, actually, you know, the ability to draw and color and, you know, do some, a myriad of other things on a console that you couldn't do previous.
Yes, and the one that really snuck up and surprised me that we got some people that were passionate about and that were torn between was the Game Genie from Nintendo.
Now, the Game Genie, you know, brought game-saving ability to consoles. It was one of the first that you could actually not only save your games, but you could actually implement game saves on them and download, you know, codes and whatnot and be able to unlock some things. I mean, you used to use it, didn't you, on some of your fighting
games?
Oh,
yeah, I loved the Game Genie. You remember going to the slow-mo? I forgot about it until we decided to put it in the kit. That's where the memory card pretty much grew from.
Yeah, and that was from Nintendo. And another thing that was actually from Nintendo that got a lot of, you know, hype back when it came out, but actually failed to impress most of us gamers as an add-on peripheral, was the Power Glove from Nintendo.
Yes, I remember the Power Glove. It really reminds me of Michael Jackson, and for some reason, every time I put it on, I kept going to my neighbor's house.
Yeah, that poor kid. Anyways, and another one, speaking about Nintendo, tried and true, they are very notable for actually coming out with innovations in the game thing. They came out with the gun called the Zapper.
That was a great gun. How many times did you take out that dog with that gun?
Yeah, I know it. I mean, it was amazing to see, you know, I mean, how much fun. One of the
funnest
games.
To this day,
one
of the most fun games on Nintendo is the Duck Hunt.
Duck Hunt. It was a blast. And if something like that were to come out for the Xbox, speaking about Guitar Hero.
That was one of the big ones for Sony, and we seemed to get some people that really did like that as well.
Yeah.
Guitar Hero is huge. It was a fun game, very innovative, and I think you could lose a pound or two. There was even a guy that broke his knee playing this game. You can go to guitarhero.com. Wait, I broke my knee. Google, I broke my knee playing Guitar Hero.
You know, Guitar Hero was a big favorite, you know, on this console, you know, add-on poll. And one of our fans, LostMan1970, he even wrote a post after he voted, and it says, I don't own a Guitar Hero, but I picked it. I can't wait for Xbox to come out. I was jamming down at the Walmart PS2 demo today that had the first Guitar Hero on it. It told me I rocked. He says he's never been told that before.
That's true, and Lost Man, you do rock, so don't forget that. But and also for Nintendo, we also had the Power Pad, which this actually caught one of my votes. I guess I'm one of the only ones that really liked this thing. I really loved this Power Pad. Remember, it used to have the track and field, and you'd play it on the Nintendo.
Oh, yeah, I do remember.
It was a blast. This was the very first version of the Dance Dance Revolution. This was like, it goes from Twister to Power Pad to Dance Dance Revolution.
There you go, man. And it was, actually a very successful add-on. My kids have the Mario DDR now. And with the Disney one coming out soon, I'm sure they'll probably want that for Christmas. Okay, and the number one thing, and this may be because it was on, XBL Radio, and here it goes once again. The number one thing that you guys like over at XBLRadio.com, and if you disagree with it, you need to get over there and vote, was the wireless controllers.
And not one particular specificated, but pretty much the Xbox 360 probably did it better than any other controller out there.
I agree.
But yeah, it's the number one add-on that everybody at xblradio.com/forums agree with and like the most.
Yeah, and it seems to be that way because it did bring a new avenue of gaming. I mean, you actually didn't have to get off the couch. And, you know, I mean, you could run around or you could use it to your ability. The dogs weren't walking over it. People didn't have to step over you as they were going for the Doritos.
Exactly.
Yeah, it was very nice. One thing the Xbox 360 has done with their wireless controller that makes it better to me is the ability to actually turn your console on and off. Okay, anyways, that wraps up our poll question this week. And, you know, we got another poll question coming up. So just go over to xboradio.com. We'll let you know what that poll question is and the answers and the relevance. Check our forums. Go to our poll site every week to find out what the new poll is on xboradio.com.
Also, if we left off an add-on, please let us know what add-on we left off, and we'll mention it.
And now that we're about to wrap it up, I mean, the XBL Radio Show version 28 is almost in the can. And I just want to give a couple shout-outs to all the people who are now logging on and visiting our blog site. It's really cool because our blogs now have a forum attached to it where you can come on and be a part of the community. And we really have some great, great comments and witty people and mature people over there who are actual gamers who actually have something to say. And maybe they don't have time to be a part of Live on Live, but they definitely have a time to go over to the XBL Radio Show and post. And there's some cool forum posts over there.
Yeah, actually, we got a forum that we started under the games. It's called Four-Word Game Review, and that's basically what it is. You got four words to use to do a game review.
And one last thing before we're out of here, I want to give a shout out to everybody out there. Also, all those other people working hard on the podcast. You know, and I really want to say this, and I appreciate it. Gamertag Radio, Godfrey, you know, has been doing a lot of work, and he's actually, you know, had Steve on the show, and he promoted us a couple weeks ago on his show, giving a shout out, and I thought that was really nice of him. And I want to say, you know, we're fans of your show as well, and there's room for all of us podcasts out there, and hopefully you listen to more than just us. I really hope so, because I think some of them have a lot better segments than we do. I mean, I know that they have a ton better interviews, and so there's a lot to be had from a variety of different sources, and we're just out here to make sure you have one other choice. One last thing,
more than one other choice, because there's my, don't forget my favorite Squad XP. Don't forget to go stop by there. They have a great forum set up.
I love Squad XP as well. I mentioned them enough during the show. I really, you know, I mean, they're a great group of guys too. I mean, it'd be fun to get everybody together and hang with everybody at one time. Maybe we should do that sometime. Well, I just want to say I appreciate y'all for joining in, and once again, don't forget to try to get in touch with us. We'd love to have you on the Live on Live segment with Roaster Ranchero and Steve 519. And if you're somebody out there of importance, we'd love to have you on the show for an interview. Be sure and contact us, or we'll be contacting you. Anyways, this is Mr. Carpal Tunnel out.
This is the other guy. I'm out. See you on the flip side.
This has been a production of XBL Radio.
Your game, your voice, your radio.
Major Nelson, a.k.a. Larry Herb.
Thank you for having me.
I saw you online.
You guys really have made my success. I owe everything to folks like yourself.
Hi, this is Luke. Oh, wait, no.
The voice from Cinecast.
This is Adam. Yeah, we're in. Sam.
Hi, guys.
Kept
you. Thank you for having me back.
Hey, this is Pitchup.
I am Rusty Ranchero.
Are we talking gaming?
A gaming show.
The Rebel.
I was going to say now I sound defeated, but I can't say that anymore, so.
You must like gaming.
Hey, going good.
Gamer School 25.
How big is it?
It's about the size of a Walkman.
I'm just going to start my own thing.
And now for something completely different.
Oh, man, that was a good show.
Oh, that was a good show, man.
We shouldn't be that hard at it. We didn't have too many problems with
I'm sorry. I know you were having a problem this week. Your friend's getting a divorce, didn't he?
Oh, yeah. Did I tell you about that?
No. I mean, you were mentioning it. The Chinese guy, right?
No, my neighbor's not Chinese, but he owned a Japanese restaurant.
Oh, that's right. That sumo place downtown. Yeah, that place is good. Well, what happened?
They got good sushi there.
Why is he getting a divorce?
No, because one of his workers, which one of the cooks is a Japanese guy, he calls in.
Well, that would make sense. It'd be terrible having a Mexican cook Japanese food.
Yeah, or a white guy.
It's happened though before.
Yeah, I don't know if I like that.
That's weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
But anyway, so what's up with him?
So one of his cooks called in sick.
Sure.
And hold on, I got a call. Excuse me. But so one of his cooks called in sick, and he was already understaffed that day is what he was telling me. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, so you fired the guy over there? He goes, no. And he goes,
right.
I said, well, he called in sick, and I was trying to talk him into coming in. And I told him, well, one thing that always makes me feel better is I always go and have sex with my wife. That makes me feel great, and I'm ready to come into work, and I'll go back to work.
So you told him, you're retarded.
I'm retarded?
I mean, you talk about having sex with your wife, but anyways, go ahead.
So, not my wife. He says he has sex with his wife to make him feel better to go to work. And he was telling the Japanese guy to try that.
Oh, I get what you're saying. Right.
Why would he want him to have sex with my wife?
Well, I don't know. Everyone else does. Boom, boom.
Yeah, you're right. Whatever.
Go ahead.
But anyway, the Japanese guy is like, oh, okay, boss. Yeah, I'll try that. So he...
Do that again. You say that again. Do it again. Do the voice.
Oh, yeah, boss. Yeah. Oh, we'll try that. So he tried this. This is my foreigner voice. It's for everything. English, okay. Australian, everything.
Okay.
So he goes and he tries that, and he comes to work about an hour and a half later, smile from ear to ear. And The guy goes, "What did you try? Did it work?" Goes, "Oh yes, boss, it worked. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Having sex with your wife, it make me feel very better."
This is our custom playlist. I mean, we didn't do this on the show, so it's an afterthought. But this is our custom playlist. Now, Weird Al Yankovic, who's I'm just a huge fan. I've been listening to this guy since I was a teenager.
He sucks.
But as a teenager, and I really, really, really like his songs. But he came out with a new album this week, Straight Out of whatever. I don't know. You can download
Straight Out of Compton.
No, it's not Compton. It's like Linwood, Straight Out of Linwood. And you can download all his songs on iTunes. And as a matter of fact, here's a sampling of some of the new songs that Weird Al has done.
While you're playing.